Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hello there, everyone. You may not have noticed, but the World Cup is about to start in 3 days' time. Ken is getting on a flight in less than 24 hours' time, and we're going to have a full month of his travel diaries, almost always good for a laugh, as well as his incisive reporting from one of the strangest, most morally divisive, most controversial World Cups ever played. We'll hear a little bit about the country of Qatar in a few minutes on this promo show. But yesterday, we released our big World Cup preview with Jonathan Wilson, Miguel Delaney, and Tim Vickery. We spent the first 15 minutes talking about how this might actually kill the whole idea of a World Cup, and that if that happened, FIFA would probably deserve it. Before we finally got to the football, here's Tim starting us off.
And I very, very much suspect that the technical level of this World Cup will be superior to that of any recent World Cup, maybe going back even to 86, which is my personal favourite. And that will carry enough people along to make the whole circus go to towns again in the future.
Why do you think that, Tim? Is it simply because the technical level has been getting better in a smooth
no,
sort of
it's,
progression?
It's because it's when it's being played. I mean, my big example here is, you know, a team that I followed through the way up, which was Argentina in 2014. And in qualification, they were insane. The front three of Messi, Higuain and Aguero, Di Maria in the midfield trio, and the coach there, Sabella, saying, you know, when we're attacked, all I can do is shut my eyes and pray. But if it's going to be tit for tat, we're going to, you know, our tit's going to beat your tat. Yeah. That's how they qualified. Once they got to the World Cup, Sabella saw that they just couldn't do it. They weren't fit enough. You know, I was in the stadium for a lot of Argentina's games, and Messi just spent his time wandering around the center circle with his head bowed as if he just dropped his wedding ring or something, and he would play in spurts. And Aguero broke down. He was never anywhere near fit. Di Maria broke down in the quarterfinal, after which Argentina didn't score a single goal. So they kind of, it was grim in the end from a team that was set up to be anything but, because end of season tiredness. And we don't have that this time. You've got the best stars in the world.
Is it counterbalanced though by the lack of preparation time? I mean, you know, players might be pressured, but they haven't really. I mean,
look at all the tournaments from the South American point of view. You know, they've had a Copa America in 19, a Copa America in 21. They've had 18 rounds of World Cup qualification. If you're not prepared after all of that, you've got no right being there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Miguel, that might be an interesting point to take up here. Say you were the manager of a World Cup team. You had shockingly been appointed in a Roberto De Zerbi way. You Googled a few things about the country you were taking over, and now you were going to lead the country. Is there a template for winning World Cup? Is there a formula? What would you do? What gives a team the best chance of winning the World Cup? Because we've seen it done in different ways recently. Germany and Spain, I think, were different from a lot of the other teams that won the World Cup. But what would you do if you're, you know, the ambitious young coach, managing Denmark, Qatar, or whoever?
That's an instructive question to sell. Or sorry, the point about Germany, Spain. So actually, only today, and plug ahoy,
I've done a piece on the erosion of national styles. I was speaking to a lot of people in football about this, including Wales football director, Dr. David Adams, and Pep Segura, who used to work at Barcelona, who obviously kind of have to study these things a lot. And one of the things is, every team now, certainly all the major teams, certainly England, they go into these tournaments, and they basically have almost these kind of Bibles, some statistical, some basically pure research, which is how to qualify, how to win a World Cup. And it's why I think Southgate has possibly been, there's been this criticism in the past of trying to almost win a tournament through instruction manual, because it's almost like he's taken pieces of, and specifically, I suppose, just the era he took over, what Portugal and France did in 2016 and 2018, and tried to almost bolt elements of that onto England's structure. And what they were was, I suppose, pretty much a very solid base with enough attacking flair to get them through every game. It wasn't always watchable, but it was effective. They were hard to get at. They had just enough goals, even if there was a bigger argument about whether they kind of subdued their talent. And it's interesting that's informing the Portuguese debate now. But I think they were in very specific tournaments. And I think from speaking to a few people around this, there is an argument. And this is where Tim's point about the time of year it happens could be so influential as well. There is an argument that it's evolving, specifically because basically all the major teams now play that German Spanish model, which is essentially the Dutch model taken on by Barcelona. So, I mean, I tweeted a little graph we had in the piece earlier of teams that play this way. And it's so many of the favorites, essentially. Germany, Spain, Netherlands, Denmark, Belgium, Croatia. I think you could argue Brazil in that. Argentina, having spoken to a few guys around their camp, it was described to me as a lot of modern principles, but with enough of a lingua extra their own way, particularly in midfield. And given this is a point in the season where players don't have much physical load, as their conditioning teams would put it, so they are sharper, I think it could suit that style of football more. It's going to lead to more open games. And I think you're right about the late start to the tournament. I think that could see a bit of a chaotic group stage. But the argument that Segura made to me was the real kind of, more so than ever, I mean, the quarterfinals is usually the point where kind of the real contenders are separated from those who pretended. But that could be even more the case this time because of the short schedule, and because suddenly teams will have had a week and a half together. They'll know each other more. They'll know what they're about. And that's when that's actually what happened to Spain in 2010 as well. They went on to another level from the quarterfinals. I think we could see similar. So it could be almost a situation where it's about surviving a chaotic group stage, and then we see the real quality. And for me, that will be one of these more a team that plays, I suppose, the modern model. I'm a little bit skeptical about England and France, but I mean, in Southgate said it the other day, to be fair, this tournament, because of so many factors, is an unknown.
Yeah. Well, Tim, what do you think of that? What is it? Brazil are the favorites. Are you piling on there? Do you share the confidence of the gamblers? I have to say that Brazil's group looks quite difficult.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's an interesting group. Miguel talked about it, the great unknown, you know, the bar for Brazil, as it's been every time since they won in 2002, which was a very, very strange World Cup. The bar is Western European side in the knockout stages. They've lost every time. And Argentina, similar to them, when they just got through Switzerland and Holland in 2014. But apart from that, it's good night Vienna every time they meet Western European opposition. So that's where the bar is. And because of the pandemic and principally the Nations League, there's been almost no international football between Europe and South America since the last World Cup. And Brazil
does
have
that matter,
game.
Though, if the players are, you know, most of the Brazil team is, I mean, half of them are playing in the Premier League at this stage, you know?
But a national team is a process. And the Brazil side, for example, and Miguel's kind of referred to this, I think they press the way that no Brazil side has ever pressed before. One problem that they're going to have in this World Cup is that things have almost gone too well over the last year and a half. They haven't been under scoreboard pressure There's some hotheads in the side. You don't know how they're going to react to that.
Who? Also, name names.
Well, Neymar, Lucas Paqueta and Richarlison. You know, they know they've got a problem. You know, I was with the coaching staff recently and they'll be getting the sports psychologist, you know, earning his or her money, trying to calm that one down. But the other possible problem is what happens when they come up against opponents who are good enough to beat the press? Because they haven't been in that situation. They've trained for it because they know, you know, they know this is going to happen at some point during the World Cup. So they've trained for it. It's been part of their preparation process. But you know, the training is one thing, and the game's another. So in that sense, it really does matter that they haven't faced, you know, the only game they've had against European opposition is a visit to the Czech Republic 3 years ago. They've been desperate. Every FIFA date, they were trying to fix up friendlies against European opposition. And what they wanted to do towards the end of World Cup qualification, after they qualified, was to send a B team to the remaining qualifiers and send the A team over to Europe for friendlies. But FIFA wouldn't let them do it. So that is the great unknown, you know, for this World Cup. It's a little bit like the World Cups of our youth, not your youth, Miguel, because you already were born into a globalized era. The rest of us weren't. You know, when you had to wait until the World Cup to find out not only who was who, but the respective balance between teams from different continents. And that's certainly the way that this one looks as well.
Jonathan, Argentina, to me, they seem to have kind of grasped the idea that if you want to play Messi, who is still, I mean, you look at what he's been doing this season, he's still the best player, in Europe. There's no doubt. You know, when you look at what he's actually producing on the field, it's incredible. But what Argentina have figured out, it seems, which is different from the last time, is that if you want to use him, you need guys who can run around him. They have that now.
Well, they seem to have been pretty fortunate in a whole load of ways that Scaloni sort of stumbled into that job as being the cheap bloke who was sort of hanging around when they got rid of
San Paoli.
And it turns out he seems very, very good at it. They've had a load of retirements, which have, I think, clarified plans that front three now, with Lautaro Martinez through the middle, Messi on the right and Papu Gomez on the left, that looks better balanced than previous Argentina front threes, where I think there's always been that pressure because they had such riches that if you start the game and after an hour you haven't scored or you haven't done something brilliant, well, take him off, try the next bloke. So that you never got any sense of continuity there. And I think that's undermined them, well, I mean, really, almost since 2006. I think the midfield looks balanced now. I'm saying this really having just, I watched the game against, we played Honduras and Jamaica, that their last two friendlies.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I saw the
loss of Lo Celso is a huge blow.
Yeah, the losers.
Huge blow.
Yeah.
Because this is the Scaloni story is just unbelievable. It's not unbelievable. You know, he's appointed with no senior previous experience on the sole grounds that he's cheap. He walks in saying, we're going to play rapid transitions. I love France and Croatia. That's what we're going to do. And you're thinking, well, this is nonsense. It's an idea that with Messi, it's never going to work. That lasts one competitive game, which was the Copa America opener in 19, when Colombia picked them off and they were a shambles. And then they start with Messi for the first time all in. Messi as a vocal, encouraging presence. Deciding if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this all in. And it coincides when he starts falling out with Barcelona. And everyone notices that suddenly he's more Argentine than anything else. And from that defeat against Colombia, they start edging towards something better, something more coherent. And the heartbeat of it is the midfield. You know, Paredes is playing the first ball out with quality. De Paul, who gives them thrust. And then Lo Celso, who's just got such a sweet thing going with Messi, you know, subtle little passes on the edge of the area. So, you know, when you've seen them so often in the past, and they've been a shambles, you know, and Messi coming back and picking up the ball off the centre-backs or something. Now that midfield has been giving him the ball closer to goal, where the relationship with Lautaro Martinez gets better and better. Di Maria, has there ever been a world-class player with less ego than Di Maria? Will flit around from wing to wing, finding little spaces. But the loss of Lo Celso is a huge blow. They've got good players to come in and replace him. Enzo Fernandez is flying with Benfica and just looks like one of those one of those people who's temperamentally suited to it, or they could go with Gomez there, or even McAllister. But they can't good teams are made of little partnerships, and they can't reproduce that partnership that Lo Celso has with Messi. So that's unfortunate. But my doubt about them is, and the defensive stats are fantastic. They've conceded two in the last 14. And since the moment that Martinez of Villa and Romero of Tottenham came into the side together, that's just improved the defence so much. But they are often defending at full stretch. And frankly, gentlemen, I don't see Otamendi as a World Cup winning centre-back at this stage in his career.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
He agrees with plenty, just it's always who's saying it, it's never what's actually said. 90% of anything is who's saying this, and 10% is what are they actually saying. So the 90% in Giles' case is, oh, it's that twat.
John is the best football brain in the world. If I could be
that guy instead of me. He just thinks I'm an annoying twat. I'd never let you do.
But if you're talking about the press, which you're talking about, have this opinion of Guardiola, it doesn't necessarily mean the football people have.
Yeah, I think I do like Ken Early's work. He writes fluently and thinks cogently, but I think he's wrong.
The press come and go, as we know. You mentioned Ken Early. Well, yeah. You know, I wouldn't necessarily agree with anything Ken Early says about football.
He just thinks I'm an annoying twat. I mean... You know, what can you do? Can't please everyone.
On today's podcast, then, we spoke to John McManus, author of Inside Qatar, Hidden Stories from One of the Richest Nations on Earth, about just how quickly Qatar turned from a desert backwater to the Gulf power it is today, most powerfully exemplified by the football tournament it's about to host.
It's quite hard, I think, if you come from, England, or I assume Ireland as well, you know, to quite comprehend the level of change in the time span. You know, like everywhere changes, obviously, in like 50, 70 years or so. But, as you pointed out, there are grandparents now who, you know, sort of lived without running water and sometimes with no fixed abodes. You know, they were nomadic, and grandchildren who are being educated at the Doha-based branch of Georgetown University, you know, a famous American institution and whatnot, and have, you know, multiple sports cars. So it's really quite head-spinning, the change that's gone through. And it's hard to... It comes back to a larger point that really, even though it's a small society, it's not by no means a homogenous place, Qatar. And there are profound cleavages and differences in outlook on the world. And the government, in some ways, is trying, sitting atop of all these shifting tectonic plates, trying to keep everyone on side, especially because it's, not a democracy and rule needs to be done with a degree of consensus in order to do that. It's not an easy job. And yeah, I think there is a certain degree of insecurity. And I don't think it's alone in that. Most new countries, because it only became independent in 1971, you know.
It's almost exactly the same age as PSG.
There we go. And as we know, they're going through quite a lot of, you know, what do they stand for? What do we stand for on the world? I mean, you know, countries reinvent themselves all the time. But I think if you're a new country, if you're a small country, if you're a country that had really no global recognition beforehand, these questions are far more existential.
We'll have Ken on the ground in Qatar for the next month. It's going to be a crazy, confusing, mad month. So if you're interested in the best World Cup coverage around, then maybe you'll think about signing up to the Second Captain's World Service. Just go to secondcaptains.com/join. And for a fiver a month plus VAT, depending on where you are in the world, you'll get 6 shows a week. We'd love to have you along. And if you don't, then we'll chat to you on Monday with 2 new shows covering the opening day of the World Cup and Ireland-Australia in the Aviva on Saturday evening. Can't do better than that. Chat to you then. And don't forget, Second Captains is part of the Acast Creator Network.
The phone is out. That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. They never go home. They never go home, those boys.
The Second Captain's World Service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.